I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here. Much more importantly, our continuing series with artist Clayton Rippey. And he will soon be the subject of a documentary, and you'll be able to see it online and in other spots. Clayton Rippey, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
We were talking a little bit off mic about what you were concentrating on, and last week we kind of got into it a bit, a new concept, a new theory you had going. Give us a little update, if you don't mind.
Well, it's a word called synesthesia. S-T-H-S-I-A, which describes the fact that we can sense from other sources without losing track working on. It was written up years ago by the painter Kandinsky. He's the one that kind of the whole idea. And he based his entire career on non-objective, non-subjective paintings, and using directions, shapes, and so on. It kind of takes the five senses, seeing, touching, tasting, hearing, and smelling, and puts them in a situation where they're all sort of connected to each other. In other words, can you touch the color yellow, for example? Well, he says you can. Or can you touch the color blue? Well, you can touch it, but can you hear the color blue rather than get it? Of course, your eye approach is the first approach when you're dealing with a painting anyway. But then other elements of the senses enter into it. Then there are the ones which the psychological and connected with an entire different senses. Such things as sadness or joy or fear or anger or jealousy or suspicion, mistrust, silliness. For example, does blue make you sad? Or does yellow make you happy? Anger. Does something red make you anger? Or suspicion, does that bring back mistrust, bring back black, and so on? And the belief is that you can experience many of these things at the same time. For example, Duke Ellington's wrote a piece years ago called it's about the main city in Iran, the gem city of the gem of the whole country, and it's such a beautiful melody that I can hear it, I can listen to it, and then I'll hear it all week, even though the player is soft. Yeah, I'll hear it in my head. Colors to it and shapes and so on. I've done about four paintings about that thing, and so you do things like that. There's a program on TV right now. It's a very weird, surrealistic, really off the charts sort of plot behind it all. It's about robots and so on. It's called Westworld. Mm-hmm. It's really quite a spooky thing. Well, it opens with showing a piano, and two hands reach out and start playing this very, very strange but beautiful theme song to the program. And instead of real hands, it's a couple of skeleton hands without any flesh on them. And you see these skeleton hands with 10 fingers back and forth and playing this melody. And it's a very, very spooky scene. But the sound and the sight of that, even after the program is gone, 2 or 3 days later, I'll see those sounds and sights, those hands, and hear the song, even though TV's been off, the program's over. But I can hear them in my head, and I see them in my head. So this is kind of what synesthesia is all about. And you can do a painting this way that should affect and hopefully will affect other senses. You piled in on top of the vision, visual part of you, and you can touch the painting. That's part of another one of the senses that you have. But you should be able to taste it and hear it and smell it.
Give us the name of the concept again, just in case anybody missed it, and spell it. What is the name of the concept?
SYNESTHESIA. Synesthesia. And some dictionaries don't even give you a definition, but others will give you a definition of what it is all about. And it attaches to saying that within our sensory systems, the five senses plus other psychological senses, they can all overlap each other. And the sensations of what you're seeing is probably first visual. But then the things that follow can overlap into that. So that's what it's pretty much all about. And music, I've been so many often involved in musical things and trying to paint music and to convert the sound into, and it's a tough thing to do, but you can do it. You can paint something that is has nothing to do with your paints. You're dealing with a physical thing there, but then the sound of it is something that you're is attached to hearing. And if you have a texture on it, it's attached to touching. And so you might even be able to taste purple.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
It's a pretty far-out thing, but after all, it is about 70 years old, the idea that Kandinsky came up with and made an entire career of it. But it's a very interesting concept, and he's written some interesting books on it. And so he became probably the father of abstract expressionism.
Well, listen, that's fascinating. And you mentioned painting music, and I love that expression. That could be a chapter in your book, Painting Music. Frank McKay here with Clayton Rippey, 95 years young, and he's seen a lot in his time, and he's got a lot of time to go, and just an amazing artist. And he's talking to us from the great Southwest, kind of, right? You're either in Vegas or you're in Utah, and I'll guess Vegas is where you are. Is that right?
Yeah, I've been for now. I'm in Vegas, and when it gets too hot here, I'll be going up to a place in Utah, in Cedar City, Utah, and it's at 6,000 feet. As a matter of fact, my house sits just about 6,000 feet elevation, so the weather is really pleasant all summer up there.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Let's go back to painting music, and it's such a fascinating term. Do you think I don't like to use the word simpler or easier, but for lack of a better term, is it less difficult to paint music if you know music, which you do? You studied music and you played, and you're a musician. Do you think it's less difficult to paint it since you've played it?
Probably so. Because, you know, when I hear something, I hear what they're doing with the chords and the rhythms and what they're today's composers change what can be done with an instrument. I think the big composition of the explosion of St. Helens Mountain in Washington, That thing is just right from the start. It starts with a big crash, and that's the mountain exploding, and then it goes from there on. But you hear instruments, things that you never thought you'd hear them do. They're doing everything with them, and he's doing anything he can to create the image of this mountain exploding.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a fascinating thing. And I'm wondering, if there's a way to explain music as a listener, and again, it's probably a different dynamic. If you don't know music or you've never studied music and you're just a lover of music, you probably have a whole different vision of what it would be like to paint music. And it kind of brings me to my next point. Can you truly inspire people? Like, for example, you've been an art teacher. You've taught art, and you know, all over the country, all over the world, and you've taught people. You've been an educator of art. Can you truly teach people to paint? I mean, you can teach them technique, but you can't really inspire them, or you can't. I guess you can influence them, of course, and you could encourage them, but can you really teach them what it is to be an artist, or is that something they have to be born with?
Oh, no, I don't know if you have to be born with that. I think people can learn to be an artist. I think it's got to start early in life, and if you have, I've had the inspiration, grandfather, father, and my mother, who both of them taught me to actually look at things and see them beyond looking. A lot of people look at stuff, but they don't really see it. They don't study it. They don't look. And my grandfather, he'd find a bug walking along, and he'd pick him up in his hand, and he'd say, "Now look at this." And we'd go all over talking about looking at it. And he'd push him around in his hand, and the bug would crawl around. And he'd describe the legs and the feelers and the wings and the color and everything about that bug. And a lot of people probably look at a bug like that and they'd step on it.
Wow.
And so they lose that ability to appreciate everything. And it's not just down to a small thing like a bug. It can be a mountain just as it is. And so if you're taught to see, really see, rather than just look, it makes a big difference in what you become. You begin to really appreciate everything that you can look at, and then you begin to see it. And so that appreciation, I think, makes you susceptible to saying, "Well, gee, I'd like to paint that, or I'd like to explore it further, or I'd like to see what other artists have done with that." So I think, yes, you can be taught to be an artist.
It's interesting. There's people who feel you can't be taught to be a musician. I don't know that I agree with that. I was a guitar teacher and a music teacher as a teenager, and I taught full time, and I had people that had real stiff hands, and you could accentuate what they're good at and try to avoid what they're not good at, and you can get them to be some kind of player. So I agree with you. I think you can teach, but it is probably pretty difficult to teach someone something that they're not ready to accept. And again, there are people that might just go into it thinking, I want to paint beautifully, and just teach me how to paint beautifully, and they don't truly seek out that beauty, or they don't see the world as being beautiful. I think that would be difficult to.
Yeah, well, I think when you can train people pretty easily by and the physical part, being draw and dealing with, teach them what colors do this, what colors do that, and maybe. But you cannot. I don't know as you can. You really have to work on them to teach the spiritual part of it all. And that is what makes the artist. Now, maybe we're born with a gene that says we can do that. I'm sure there are people that are so talented, they can just pick up an instrument just about and play it on the spot. But the feeling that goes beyond just the physical aspect of creating something, that's what really counts most. And I don't know, you can teach it, you can tell about it, and I in one of my ceramics classes, I had a guy who wanted to learn how to throw a cylinder, and he spent nothing but time. He never made a pot. He never made a cup or a saucer or a plate. He would just make cylinders and squish them down and make them again and squish them. Well, when he left, he could throw a cylinder about 3.5 feet high and use about 30 pounds of clay doing it.
Wow.
And most certainly I couldn't do it. The physical aspects of it. Whether he went on to make some beautiful pots later, I don't know.
Wow.
He went to Long Beach somewhere, I heard, but I never did follow up to find out where or what he did.
Have you
certainly knew the physical aspects of it.
Have you, and before I ask you this, let me remind folks just tuning in or turning on their radios, their computers. Frank McKay here with Clayton Rippey, part of a continuing series with the wonderful artist. And let me ask you this. Have you kept in touch with any of the, or kept abreast of any of the students that you taught? And have any of them built careers out of art? Or are you in touch with any, or are you following any of them?
Not too many of them, but one guy was, he wanted to go to came to me and well, you went to Stanford. And I said, yes. He said, well, I want to go to Stanford. And I said, no, you don't. And I said, you're going to go to Art Center School down in Los Angeles. And I sent him, and he always gives me, for years, has given me credit for sending him down there instead of to Stanford. He became one of the top illustrators in the country of super streamlined automobiles.
Yeah.
And he eventually worked his way up to where he was the art editor of Road and Track magazine for years. And every night with different car home. Because they'd bring in stuff with the magazine, and he'd take one of them and drive it home to work in it. So he had a lot of fun, and he did a lot of their refined cars.
Interesting.
To each other, and he has paintings in the car, Mercedes Benz, Rolls Royce. Yes, in their collections.
Well, I'll tell you, it's fascinating when you look back, but it's also it's encouraging to see you pass on your knowledge. And I mean, even in this series here, I mean, hopefully we're inspiring some young artists that are now following you to see where they can take it as well. And it's something to have knowledge. It's another thing to pass it along. Got about a couple minutes left with Clayton Rippey. Is a world-renowned artist, a world traveler, an educator, and so much more, veteran.
Well, I had a couple other people. One of them sent me some stuff that he'd been doing, and he had organized groups and painter groups and so on, and he was painting and teaching and doing all kinds of things, and very successful. And I had another one wrote to me and told me that he had opened up an art gallery up above San Francisco. Never heard much more from him after that, but he was doing some sort of things. And I have one student that made a lamp when he was in school in the class. And it wasn't a lamp, it was a big pot. And I said, if you cut a hole in the bottom of that, I'll buy it from you. And so he did, and fired it, and was successful. And it's a big, tall, well, I think you may have seen it when a big, tall ceramic.
Yes, I remember. I remember.
Oil lamp.
Yeah.
I'm sure he went into staying with both ceramics and jewelry. So you hear once in a while what some so-and-so has done.
Yeah, well, very good. It's nice that that trickle down. There's a tree. There's a tree with branches now, and it's a Clayton Rippey tree. We're just about out of time. Can you leave us with any thought here? And again, you know, we've been talking about the let's end where we started off. The concept again. Give us the concept and spell it if you can.
YNESTHESIA. And if you want to know more about it and more about the theories behind it, they're written up extensively by the artist Kandinsky, Russian artist, who became pretty much the father of art. And he had a lot of followers. He had a lot of really good friends, particularly his best buddy, I think, was probably Paul Klee.
Wow. Very interesting. Well, listen, Clayton Rippey, thank you very much for being here. We encourage everyone to binge listen to everything that we're doing. A lot of shows here, a lot of information, but all coming from the mind and the heart of Clayton Rippey. And soon, the subject of a new documentary, and you'll be able to see that. And we'll tell you when that's out and kind of follow along. Clayton Rippey, thank you very much.
You're brilliant. Thank you.
Clayton Rippey has been our very special guest, part of a continuing series, Frank McKay here, with the artist Clayton Rippey. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.